Festival returns to historic Belmont Park June 6th through 8th. Buy tickets today and enjoy trackside reserve seats or enhance your experience with one of our premium hospitality packages to make this an unforgettable event. Grandstand admission starts at $15 and three-day festival passes are also available. Buy now at Ticketmaster.com or visit BelmontStakes.com. The Belmont Stakes, where champions are crowned.
Amazing achievements for Pennsylvania breads on the world stage. Thanks to Finest City, Unique Bella, and Shamrock Rose, PA joins Kentucky as the only state in the past decade to breed Eclipse Award champions three straight years. Add that to our unmatched incentives. Plus, our racehorse development fund can only be used to support PA breeding and racing. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Porchbills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Porchbills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Porchbills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Porchbills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races, about 20 minutes plus to the top of the hour. Bill Downs is going to join us from Indiana Grand. They open today, this afternoon, about 4 hours away, give or take. And right now, though, Rudy Brissette joins us, and Rudy has swung into action and brought back a couple of stable stars. Talk Viv to me. Really good the other day, and I hadn't had a chance to mention that from Thursday. Absolutely dug in and kept turning back challenges. And then on Saturday, here was Quip at Oaklawn for the Oaklawn Handicap, and also a determined winner. Rudy, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
You know, it really challenging when you've got stake horses and they've got established established credentials, you're bringing them back, can be challenging. Let's start with the stake win, and then we'll get to Talk Viv, give us a feel for Quip over the winter and tuning him up for this spot.
Well, we the horse needs some time. Last year we working with the ownership, Winstar, China Horse, and SF Racing, we all agree on giving him a good amount of time after the Preakness, and the horse really really benefits from that time off. And when he came back to us, he looks looks like a different horse, you know, put some weight on, very mature. And the whole winter got, you know, got pretty smooth. We were able to put him on a weekly workout, and we were having a pretty good party on the, of a breeze. And you know, the first race was going to be fair ground. We got a bad draw. We scratched off of that, and we saw the mile one turn in Gulfstream could feed him two of the layoff, and he did run a good race. And then you know, Saturday was I guess he ran his best Bayer, and that was his best race so far, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it is notable that for looking at his PPs, Rudy, you know, he has kept the best company, and he's also run into some hot horses. You know, I think people forget, after the Tampa Bay Derby last year, you went to the Arkansas Derby and you chased Magnum Moon. That day, he ended up second in the Arkansas Derby, and then waited for Preakness. And then, of course, even in the return at Gulfstream back in February, you ran into one of Todd Pletcher's hot older horses, Prince Lucky, who is a buzzsaw right now. So he even when he's not won, he's faced good company. This was, you know, this was also a wet track situation. That you did have the opportunity, of course, in Baltimore to run on a wet track. But what were your thoughts on Saturday morning, or even leading in when we knew it was going to be a wet day?
Well, I mean, knowing what we know about the Preakness, maybe the, you know, the horse was maybe on the, maybe a little bit tired, and then you know, you're facing Justify. I mean, it's not like, you know, it was a different ball game. So I guess what we talk is the morning of the race, we just said, let's put a line on the Preakness and just go back to when I breathe in couple time in a slop in Fairgrounds. He never show any sign he didn't like the slop. So this is why we kind of keep it in the race, even if he was sloppy, and we thought he could run a big race anyway, you know.
Absolute. And in, on Saturday, he also, I thought it was notable, he didn't press the pace. He absolutely let the speed. I thought that Jose, you know, did a nice job to, you know, kind of let the speed go ahead. Pioneer Spirit and there was the Chris and Dave that was pressing the pace, and he basically set up shop and let the speed go. Kind of a different dimension for him to be not as close.
Well, I mean, yeah, that was the good thing about the outside draw, and we and Jose know the off now. That was a good thing too. I mean, you know, he rode him in the Isle of Hope in February. So I guess, you know, you play the break, and then those guys they rode so many races a day, and they you know, he's in the top three in America, and to me he's actually maybe the best rider in America right now, and we're lucky enough to having a close relationship with him, and he's been riding a lot for us, and we hope we can keep giving him some good horses and can keep winning races with him. You know, he's a great kid too. So,
well, this was a nice win for everybody involved, and you know, it was a pretty tight finish. You had basically five horses within a length, really, at the wire.
Yeah, we. If you look at the replay at the eight pool, it actually looked like we almost kind of free home, and then Lone Sailor did his own his usual late run, and looked like Flavian was asking him the best at the last 16, and we were a little worried at the angle of the camera was not really our advantage, so we stopped cheering for 5 minutes, I can tell you that.
Waiting for the photo. You weren't, it wasn't 100% sure. Well, you come away with the win, and it really, you know, it sets you up for any number of opportunities. What is on your mind? And I'm sure you've already had some conversations with Elliot Walden since Saturday.
Actually, we didn't.
No?
It's actually, he's actually the beauty of not having to make the derby, I guess, this year. You know, we actually, you know, it looks like his horse. He's kind of enjoyed the 5-6 weeks between races. So I myself didn't even know. Just came back from Auckland yesterday. He's back home in Kinlan. He's in his stall right now. And I think, you know, looked like he came out the race very good. But, you know, I mean, maybe the first thing come in mind would be the Stephen Foster, but, you know, it's 8 weeks from now, but it's a win and win race. He's not a great one anymore. It's a shame, I think, but, you know, it could be a race for set us up for the summer in Saratoga. And, you know, we kind of want to, you know, all that time off we give him, I think we want to try to get a horse can run all year. And, you know, looks like we may have find a, we may really find the way he wants to be prep and the way the space between races. And I would be surprised if you see him run back at 3 weeks. I can tell you that.
Nice. Well, then you can really cherry pick. You mentioned the Foster in June, and you've got Saratoga after that, the Whitney and the Woodward, and perfect. And basically wind your way around and angle for Breeders' Cup for Classic and keep building him up as he goes. Well, similarly, let's talk about Team Valor's really nice filly, Talk Viv to Me. Now, she didn't have the advantage. This was maybe the prep, obviously, for what's next. But she ran into some serious horses, Rudy, on Thursday, and she turned back every challenge.
Well, yeah, I mean, that was not, we actually end up running her. We jump a condition. If you look closely of the PPs, she was eligible for an unwinner of three lifetime, and we end up have to run her in a race where she jumped the condition, but. You know, the way we toss things is, I would say, if you think you're good enough to run in the Humana or to run 1-2-3 in the Humana stakes, that means you got to be good enough to win that kind of other horse in Kinlan. So, this is the way we approach, the entries, and we put her in a race. We got lucky enough, the race went, you know, she was supposed to run on the 10 and on the 9, and then the race didn't go on Sunday, so. We were able to put her in and get the race going, and then she showed up. You know, she drew the inside post, and I think you know, I would say last year I may have made a mistake with her to try to make her what she doesn't want to be. You know, looks like we got to stick to one turn, and her number are very fast going one turn, and last year going two turn the number declined went slower. So. You know, you. I guess you learn every day, but I would say I didn't make a mistake there, and I'm going to try to don't do it again.
Well, this was a very good tune-up for the Humana, and she'll have to go an extra furlong. Julian Leperoux, who's been associated with her, and Sean Bridgeman rode her early on. Jose Ortiz had her in the Acorn when she was a very good second to Monomoy Girl that day, and Julian has ridden her since. And, you know, everybody thinks of Julian, Rudy, as somebody to come from off the pace, but he is terrific on the front end and he can absolutely get one around on the lead. And yes, you drew the inside, so you kind of had to, your hand is a little forced going six. Do you expect her to maintain, you know, a front-running style going forward?
Well, I mean, you know, it's sprinting. You know what you get when you run that weekend in a derby weekend in Churchill, you don't get pretty hot. I mean, you know, last year we ran out the 8 bells. I think they went 22 flat, 44 and 1.
Yep.
You know, usually that track is pretty tight and you know, everybody is pretty hot from the gate. So, you know, I mean, I think she's very versatile. You know, she doesn't need to be on the lead. She can be on the, you can pretty much do whatever we want. It's more break and see what's going on, you know. But Julian, you know, Julian didn't do anything wrong with her last year. You know, the first time he rode her, he won by 12, and I make the mistake in Alabama and in the spinster, so nothing old against the jock. And you know, he gave her a really good race. He let her gallop out after the wire last week, and I think we should hopefully see a filly with maybe 10 or 12 legs better next race. You know.
Well, she turned back every challenge, and you know, there was early pressure, and then came Rusty Arnold's filly Awestruck, and then finally another probe by Treble, and every time somebody came to her, Julian let her out another notch, and I mean, she just pretty much gutted that group of very nice fillies and mares. So talk Viv to me going forward to the Umana. She is a violence filly, Hill and Dale, of course, and out of a point given mare, so really has got the nice you know, tactical speed and then the stamina underneath, and really was a bargain too. She was a bargain purchase.
Yeah, we got lucky. You know, it's a friend of mine who worked at Winstar, Sean Tugger, find her and got her on a short list, and I went to see her, and really my wife and I fell in love with her right away, and we got her, and we involved one of our friends, and then you know, after she broke the maiden, Tim Valor got it in the ownership, and then since it's been a fun ride.
Well, that's unbelievable. I didn't realize that. Going back to that storyline, really nice. Well. She RNA'd too. The people had a chance for her as a 2-year-old at OBS March, and they whiffed. So you guys did very well starting the campaigner, and originally was a $20,000 Keeneland yearling, and now positioned for more success as a 4-year-old after a very good 3-year-old season as well. Talk Viv to me and Rudy Brissett. Rudy, what else, you know, looking ahead, looking around as the spring gets going, you know, certainly feels good to have these two at the head of the barn, but give us a little bit of a barn tour. Who are we going to see that we haven't seen yet?
Well, actually, you haven't seen, I would say, actually, they all pretty much run once, but, you know, you get a horse named Preamble, we really like, his 3-4-3, and look like we got to keep him sprinting, and with the Woody Stevens in mind, the Alan Jackson in Saratoga could be the two goal for that horse if he's good enough. And then we have a horse named The Black Album, who was a good third of the layoff in Transylvania, and he's got a, you know, we're pointing him for the American Turf on the weekend on a Derby weekend, where the main goal for him will be the Secretaria being shortened up to a mile. It's a great one, so that's the long term goal. And then of course we got a city we really really love named Positive Spirit, which he qualified for the Oaks, and